Okay, so today's daf is daf Samech Zayin. So let's take it from the last line of Samech Vav Amar Beis. The Gemara begins as follows: Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Isha Lo Titbal, a woman should not be Titbal, Benabal, what's a Namal? Rashi is a port. It's a port where ships come in, Makum Shastrinos, Nikraos, Shemalos, Tit Vechotes. So there's a lot of activity of boats coming in and out, and it's mud that's being moved from the bottom of the port. So that's chashash of a chatzitza, so she shouldn't go to an area where there's a lot of movement of boats. The afagav the hashalak, even though when she comes out of the mikveh, out of the tefillah, she doesn't see any mud on her, there's nothing there. Eimer berduni nafa, perhaps when she was coming up, the mud had fallen off, but when she had dunked initially, there was mud, that was a chatzitza, and therefore one shouldn't perform mikveh in that area. Then the Gemara says, Avu the Shmuel, this is a Gemara that appears a few places in Shas, Avu the Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, Avir lebenase, he would make for his daughters a mikvos b'yamonisim, and mafse b'yamaytishi. So what's going on here? So the way it works is that there's two types of mikvos. There's one mikvah which is a mayan, which is a spring. So a spring, even though the water might flow from one place to another place, that's all permitted, even though it's moving. That's okay. But if it's rainwater, which is another source of it, so it has to be mikvah, has to be where it's collected, where it falls. But you can't transport rainwater to another location. So what happened is, sometimes during the year, they're from the river. So do we know the river comes from a spring? And sometimes there's rainwater. So when is there majority? If majority is rainwater, so the rainwater is moving through the river, that's a problem. That's a shuv, and that's not allowed. But if it's mostly from the spring, so then it's allowed even though it's moving. So Gemara tells us that Avud the Shmuel made for his daughters mikvahs b'mei Nisan. During Nisan, because during this rainy season, what happened was there was a lot of snow that built up in the winter. And then it began to melt in the beginning of the Nisan. So then that melting started to flow into the river, and there was more rainwater. The snow is considered rainwater that's been transported through the river, and that disqualifies the river. So that's why he had to make a mikvah, where the area that the rainwater would just collect in one location where it dropped, and that's allowed. That's what he would do for Bimei Nisan. And during the Tishrei, he would make mapatse Bimei Tishrei. He would make these little mats that he would, in Tishrei, well, after a long summer, there was no rain in the summer, so it was all the river flowing from the spring. So that's completely kosher, if it's mostly from the Mayan, mostly from the spring. So they have to go into the river. But the river, there's mud in the bottom, so he had to make some mats for them to step on when they dip into the mikvah in the rivers. So there shouldn't be a chatzitza. So that's what Avu the Shmuel would do. So Gemara then says, Amar Rav Gida, Amar Rav, he teaches us that Nas Natav Shalivna, a woman, let's say, is feeding her family food, dinner, and the tavlin afterwards, she goes to the mikvah, and she doesn't inspect herself to see if there's any chatzitza from the meat, chicken, whatever she was feeding her children. But also, then she comes up, and she sees afterwards, maybe she inspected herself, and she didn't see any chatzitza on the body. Lo also, lo tefillah. We say that tefillah isn't good, because we assume if she was involved in some dirty work in the kitchen, making food, cooking food, feeding to the children, we assume if there must be something that stuck there, and she didn't do an inspection before, and we say that tefillah isn't good. We also got the hash shalek, even though now after the tefillah she inspects herself and there's nothing on her body, it's not safe, because it's not a fair assumption, because Eimer bar Dione Nafal, perhaps when she came up from the mikvah, maybe whatever food was stuck there fell off, but when she ran into the mikvah initially, it may have been there. The Gemara now says, Rami bar Abba, Hani Rivdi de Kusilta. So let's say a person has a scab, a wound of some sort, perhaps caused by Hakasas Dam, they explain, or maybe just and some other cut a person had. So the scab is very problematic halacha l'maisa for chatzitza. So the din is ad plus a yom alochaiti, the first 2 days from when the scab begins to develop, that's fine. Why? Because since it's soft, it's still moist at that time, it's soft, so it's not, it's still considered part of the, it's still growing, it's part of the skin. Part of the skin still, even though it might be a little discolored and scabbed, the first 2 days is considered part of the skin, and therefore that's fine. Mikan ve'elach, after 3 days, where the scab begins to peel off, begins to dry, and is now considered separate from the skin, even though it's attached to the skin, that's chaiti, that's chatzitza. It's like having, glue stuck to your skin, so now a scab is stuck to the skin. It's not part of the skin anymore, but it's considered disconnected, yet it's attached. And therefore, it's a problem after 3 days. So Amar Maruk for Leflof Shiba'ayim, the person has some crust, some mucus, what do they call it here? Mucus coming out of the eye. So then, if it's lach, if it's moist coming out of the eye, so then, enochot is not chatzitza, because people are not so machmir for a little, some, some liquidy mucus coming from the eye, people are not bothered by that so much. But yavish, if it's dry, it's crusted around the eye, people are bothered by that, and that would be a chalutzei tzas chatzitza. So a person needs to make sure that around the eyes are clean. Amasai nikra yavish, at what point, how do you define the term yavish with respect to the mucus coming from the eye? Mishal shemashil lirok, when it begins to lirok, when it becomes greenish, that tells us it's starting to change color. It's mostly dry, and then that poses a problem for chatzitza. So Amar Shmuel says, k'chol shebesoch ha'ayin, k'chol is some type of coloring they put outside the eye, inside the eye. So if the k'chol was inside the eye, and people are not so mach, but if there's some k'chol inside, the woman doesn't care about it. If there's no hakbada, it's not a chatzitza, and that's fine. But this k'chol that's shal gabi ha'ayin on the outside of the eye, which women are machbid on, they're particular about being there, that's a chatzitza, that's chotzitza, that is a chatzitza. We're going to see in Amud Beis how to define hakpada and how to define chatzitza, but hakpada is part of the definitions of what's chatzitza. So im hayu einav porchos, let's say a person's eyes are open and close a lot, their eyes are fluttering a lot. Afilu al gabi ayin in a chotis, and even if it's on the outside of the eye, some of this kol, so that's not a chatzitza, because from the movement of the eye, it softens the kol on the outside. It makes it very loose and soft. And there's not really much left anyways to serve as a chatzitza, and therefore that would be fine in that instance. So Amar Rabbi Yochan, Paschai Nebiyoza, let's say when a woman goes into the mikvah, she opens her eye really, really wide, too much, Atma Nebiyoza, or she shuts her eyes really, really tightly, that doesn't work. We wanted her to go in with her eyes closed, but regularly loose, but once it's tight too much, so now she's creating crevices and wrinkles between her eyes, and that's not allowing the water to get in. Where it's open too much, then it's not allowing the eyes to go underneath the eyelids and above the eyelids. It should be closed in a very gentle way. This way the water could touch all areas of the outer part of the eye. So then the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Ha'isha lo tipo ela derech gedilasa. The way a woman should go into the mikvah should be derech gedilasa, the way she grows, meaning the way she stands up. From top to bottom, she shouldn't do a headstand. She shouldn't do a weird position. She should go down the way she is. Rashi explains here what that means. Halfway down the wide lines, the titbal ela kederach gedilasa. The way she again grows, the way she stands tall. Kolomer lo titchach zero ze al basara. She shouldn't squeeze her arms against her legs. Lo raglev shukel zebden. She shouldn't shut her legs tightly. Kederach halichas. The way she walks, where the arms are loose and the legs are loose. That's how she, or Vishimusha Tamiro, the way she is active, the way her limbs are very loose. Umasha Nichsa Vekamut, Vein Main Ban Lo Ech Paslein. But what goes in, and the areas that might be closed off by maybe whatever the skin's tight in different areas, so then that we're not bothered by. Vein Tzricha Lefashid Beis Kamenetel. She doesn't have to make open like all of the wrinkles in the body to ensure that all their water comes in. It's just the way she normally works, the way she normally walks, that's the way she should let her body be relaxed when going in the mikvah. There's a discussion, it's brought down in the poskim, not in the Gemara, but in terms of going to the mikvah, you know, saying the bracha. So how she positions herself to say the bracha when she's underneath the water, because she has to cover the makom erva, her head above the water, she crosses her arms to cover the makom erva. So these are also part of the things that are necessary in terms of a woman going in, but should certainly be standing up, and in an area where it's where the body is relaxed, like she'd be walking down the street. So then the Gemara says kiditzan, like the Mishnah describes this Mishnah Maseches Nigan. Sometimes there's a neged tzaras in a person's body whereby the kohen could see it depending how they stretch, how they position themselves. So the Mishnah tells us that a man or woman should position themselves in a regular way, and the kohen has to see if he sees it. If the neged tzaras is visible, so it's a problem. If the neged tzaras isn't visible to the kohen in its natural position, even though it's there, that would not qualify as a neged tzaras. So the Mishnah describes, Ha'ish, a man who has a nega, nirek oder, so he should present himself in front of the kohen like he's digging in the karka. And then if there's a neged tzaras in one's armpit, so the way the position is digging, if he's not able to see it, it's so deep in the armpit that the kohen can't see it, even when he's digging up, that would be a pater from being declared a neged tzaras. Or kamosik zesim, let's say he's bending down the floor to collect some olives on the ground, so let's say he has a neged tzaras and is the base erva, so then only if the kohen could see it, if he's doing an act of schlepping the zeis and the olives from the ground, that's the way we have the kohen inspected, whether he can notice the neged tzaras or not, notice the neged tzaras. And an issue with respect to a woman, if she also has a negatras in an area that might not be so visible, so near she should appear to the kohen, kareges, like a woman who sits and she weaves. So when she weaves, if the kohen is able to see underneath in the armpits, then it's a negatras. If he's not able to, if she's doing the natural way, so then we can't declare it a negatras. And if it's an area that's in the base of Erva, so she should be sitting down nursing her child, and that position that she's in, nursing the child, whether or not the Kohen can notice it or not, this is what we see. So the natural way she works, the natural way she walks, or he walks, that's what's relevant for Negatras. And so too, carrying over in terms of a Chatzitza, in terms of a Tevila, she should be in that same position of just a natural way of letting her body be. The Gemara now says in the bottom of Samach Zayin Amun Aleph, last two lines, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Nima Achas Kshura Chotzetzet. So let's say there's one hair that's tied to itself. So it's a little knot in one strand of hair. That's a chatzitza, because since it's very tight, the hair is not going to get in to the knot that's now tied up within that one strand of hair. If it's shalosh, let's say there's three strands of hair that are intertwined with each other, ain't a chotzetzet, that's not a chatzitza, because when three hairs get tangled, they don't create a tight knot, and therefore, even though they're attached to each other, they're intertwined, the water is able to pass through all the all sides of the hairs. But let's say the shine, let's say two hairs got tangled with each other, and you're there, it's unclear whether or not that's tight enough to create a chatzitza, or that's considered loose, so like three hairs, and that would not be a chatzitza. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eino Ani Ein Lanu El Achas. I hold, my misar is, that only if there's one strand of hair that's tied to itself is there a problem of chatzitza, but two or more does not pose a problem of chatzitza. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Davar Torah. The Din Midiraisa, what qualifies as a chatzitza? So you need two factors. One is Rubo Hamakbir Lav Chotzetz. So if it's a rove of the body, or let's say rove of whatever is being dunked in, if a keli is being dunked in, rove has a chatzitza on it, and those are your makbid, it bothers you that's there, that's davar Torah, that's a chatzitza. If it's rove and makbid, but let's say that's chotzit. Rubo beinu makbid, let's say it covers most of the body, but you're not makbid on it. So let's say a painter. A painter doesn't mind having paint on his skin because he paints all the time. So if I have paint on my skin, it bothers me, even a little speck of paint bothers me. A painter, if it's rove paint, it's rove of the body, let's say, but he's not makbid, he doesn't care about it. So that's not a chatzitza on a derais level. That's ain't a chotet. However, even though it's not chotet, the chacham came along and said, v'gazru al rubo sheyo makbid mishim rubo hamakbid. There goes there that you should say, if rov ain't a makbid is chatzitza, lest you come, because if you say it's not a chatzitza, rov ain't a makbid, you might come to say, rov and makbid is also not a chatzitza. So they extended it to rov sheyo makbid. And they also were gozer, the gazu al niyute hamakbid, mishim rubo hamakbid. They also gozer one without the other, that if it's only a mir, so let's say for me, I'm not a painter, so even a tiny part of my body is paint on it, that bothers me, that's makbid, but it's mir, it's a tiny part of my body. So they said, if it's either rov, or it's makbid, one or the other, that also will be chatzitza on a derabana level, gzeira rubo, mishim rubo hamakbid. So Gemara says, well, there is one fourth permutation, right? We have rovo makbid, we have rov, not makbid, makbid, not rov. What about not rov and not makbid? That's the fourth possibility. What about that? Why is there no gezerah in that fourth instance? And the Gemara asks this question. V'ligzar, na mi al miyuto, shina makbid. Why not make a gezerah and say, if it's miyut, and I also don't care about, that should also be a chatzitza. Why leave that fourth permutation out? And the Gemara says, mishum miyuta makbid, higufa gezerah. When there's just a miyut, only a small speck on my body that's makbid, that itself is a gezerah. The ana nikam nigzer gzera gzera. We're not going to make a gzera on top of a gzera. We say ain goes in gzera gzera. We don't make double gzeras. So since miut ve'amachbid, right, rather miut umachbid is one gzera, we can't add another one of miut ve'amachbid, and therefore miut ve'amachbid doesn't bother me. And it comes up halacha maisa. Now, for example, we always tell women to make sure everything's removed, all makeup, any chatzitza. But let's say she goes to the mikvah and she comes out and she finds a tiny, tiny speck of nail polish that she didn't notice until after the mikvah. So it certainly was there beforehand. So we have to know it's miut. So it's not the deraisa, that's for sure. But it might be the rabbanim. It's miut. The question is whether she's makbid or she's not makbid. How do we define whether she's makbid or not makbid? So the posting will ask her different variations of the question. Either they'll say, would you be comfortable, would you be embarrassed had you gone to a wedding with that on, you know, little speck on your nail? Or would it be mock, would it bother you if you walk down Central Avenue and people would notice that or not? If you would say, yeah, it would bother me to go to a wedding that way, it would bother me to walk down Century Avenue that way, that's makbid, and we would say one would have to go back to the mikvah. If they said, nah, it's a tiny thing, I don't care, no one noticed it, then we'd say it's ain't a makbid, and therefore it wouldn't even be a gzera midirbanan, and it would not require a second tevila. So Amar Rav, Rav says, nida bizmana eino tevelas ela belayla. The din is, nida bizmana zeh, they only go to the mikvah at nighttime, and finally Rashi quotes a pasuk here, Balayla, four lines down, Dechsibet says regarding Anita, Tiyeh benidasa, Tiyeh benidasa kol shiva. She has to be Tameh, she's Tameh Anita all 7 days. It's not until the 7 days is over, which means the night time, the night after 7 days, where she is Tahor and permitted to go to the mikvah. That's Rav Shita. Vishalo Bizman, that's all of it's Bizman if she goes in the right time. So she's going on the night of the 8th. So Leil Shmini, that has to be Balayla. But if it's Shalo Bizman, I mean it's not in time, I mean it's afterwards, let's say it's the 8th day, Tevelas Bein Yom Bein Malayla. One 7 days have completely passed, so then she could go day or night. It could be the 9th day, the 10th day, 11th day. After 7 days, Bein Yom Bein Malayla, according to Rav, is permitted. Rav Yochanan, however, says, Amar, Bein Bizmana, Bein Shalo Bizmana, whether it's the right time, meaning Leil Shmini, after 7 days have been completed, or even Shalo Bizmana, the 9th, 10th, 11th day, even then, the din is, Eino Tevelas Ela Belayla. She's only allowed to go Belayla. Why not? What the Pasuk says, she's coming for 7 straight days. After that, she's Tahor. So she can go to Mikvah whenever she wants. So I understand the very first time she wants to go with Mana, that has to be by nighttime. But Laila. Because at daytime, she's still Tamei Nida. But Laila, she's now Tahor. But the next day, let her go by Yom. Why not? So says Rabbi Yochum, this is brought down the Halach Lemaisa in the Ramah. Mishum Srach Bita. What does it mean, Srach Bita? Because a daughter is going to notice that the mother goes to Mikvah in the daytime. And the daughter's not going to know it was the 8th day or the 9th day she went to the Bayom. Now when the daughter grows up, she's going to think, oh, so my mother probably went on the 7th day Bayom, and she'll do the same thing, go the 7th day Bayom, and that would be the incorrect thing to do. So because of Srach Bita, because what the daughter might learn from her mother, the Rabbi Yochum and Gzeira, a woman could never go to the mikvah Bayom, must be Balayla. V'af Rav Hadabe, even Rav retracted on his initial statement allowing her to go Bayom. Damar Rabbi Yechir Bar Ashi Amar Rav Nida Bein Bizmana Bein Shelo Bizmana Eino Tevelas Eino Ela Belayla Mishum Srach Bita. Fine. The Gemara now says, Askin Rav Idi Benarsh the Mitzvah Bayoma the Tamne Mishum Ar Yusa. So even though we paskin you have to go Belayla, there are certain heterim. Because we know Mikra Din, you could go by Yom. After the 8 days over, you go only by the first time, Leil Shmini, after 7 days, you must go by Laila. But after that point, you really can go by Yom. It's just a Gzeira, Mishum Mishrach Bita. But since it's a Gzeira, there are built-in kulas. So what are the kulas? So Rav Idi was Masakin in Narsh, a certain area, that they are allowed to go during to the Mikvah by Yom on the 8th day. Not the 7th day, on the 8th day, because Mishum Aryusa. They lived in an area where lions were living. And at nighttime, it was very dangerous to go out to the mikvah, so then you'd be allowed to. And this comes up, it's common to have such a child, the person's traveling somewhere, and it's dangerous to go at nighttime, there's no mikvah around, they're going to the ocean, or there's a mikvah far away, or it's a dangerous neighborhood. This is these are heterim that one does employ, not on the 7th day, but on the 8th day. Now there are some instances where poskim say, even on the 7th day, one's allowed to go. We'll see what the big problem is. But both days, whether it's 7th day or 8th day, when we allow for it, is the tonight is that she cannot see her husband until nightfall. And we'll see why that is in just a second. But we have built in kulas bayom, bayom ha-shmini. So then Rav Acha Bar Yaakov b'papunya, in this area, Mishun Ganve, this city had a lot of ganavim. It was very dangerous for the women to go balayla. So he said they could go bayom on the 8th day. Not the 7th day, but the 8th day bayom, they're allowed to go because of ganavim. Rav Yehuda b'pumfadisa, Mishun Sinu, was very cold. And at night, the temperature dropped significantly, so they said it's too cold for them to go. They didn't have heaters, so therefore they allowed them to go by Yom on the 8th day, whereby it was warmer. Rava ben Mechuza, Mishim Avulav. The Rava, he said in the city of Mechuza, he allowed them to go to Mikvah Balayla by Yom as well, because Avula, what's Avula? That's apparently the showmen, the gatekeepers were Gaim. And there's a concern that they might damage them, might injure them. So similar to the Ganavim. So whenever there's a danger, so then there's a heter to go by Yom. But of course, this always should be consulted with a posek. So Amarle, Rab Papa Rava, Ulabaye, Michli, let's understand this for a second. Wait, why are we saying all this dinim? Michli, ha'ina nowadays, the din is that kulu safek zavos shavini rabbanim. We assume all women nowadays are safek zivos. Women are not able to keep track of their days of Ziva, Nida, so we never know. And say a woman's a nida, but she might really be a zava. So what's the difference? A nida, we know the din is a woman whose nida is tame 7 days and she goes to the mikveh right away. A zava is a woman who sees 3 days of dam when she wasn't supposed to see. So now she has to wait shiva nakim. So we have some type of combination that we say a woman's tame nida 5 days, and then she does hefsek tara and says shiva nakim. So this way, there's at least 7 days of nida. There's also shiva nakim where she sees 7 clean days. That's how we do it. So nowadays, there's a chashash, a safek that maybe she's a zava. So what's the significance of her being a zava? So the Gemara says again, hahidna nowadays, kulo safek zavos shavini rabbanon. So we assume all women are a possibility of zavos. Lit belinu b'yamala the shavir. Let her go to the mikvah on the day of the 7th day. Why? Because you look at Rashi. Rashi says that litva b'yamama the shiva around 10 hour lines down b'manavsha. Im nidahi, if she's already nida. Right, again, the way it works is our only shaila of going balayla is if it's 7 days, and then the first night you want to go to the mikvah, that's balayla only. But now we're waiting, a woman's tummy, 5 days she sees dam. That's usually how it works. 4 or 5, 6 days she sees dam nida. So that's right. Then wait seven shivanakim. That's around 12, 13 days from when she's supposed to go. So now it's like Bayom Ashmil, we let her go Bayom on the 8th day. This is now like the 13th day, several days after she could have gone to the mikvah if she was Nida. So if she's Nida, so she should be able to go Bayom. And if she's a Zava, that she's not a Nida, but she's a Zava, the din is only a Nida has to wait Balayla, but a Zava is not to go Bayom during the daytime. So either way, no matter how you slice it, Bismanazah, the Bayom should be completely permitted. So Gemara says, Mishim de Rabbi Shimon, because the Shita Rabbi Shimon, what's the Shita Rabbi Shimon? The Tanya, the Brisa tells us when it comes to a Zava, so Achar Titar. The Pasuk says that V'shafer la Shivas Yamim, a Zava needs to count 7 clean days, Shivanakim. V'achar Titar, and then afterwards she's Tar. So what's the extra word V'achar Titar? So the Tanakama says, Achar Achal Kulan, after all and after the Shivanakim, Shlotei Tuma Mapsek is Benem. There has to be 7 consecutive days. You can't have 3 days of clean, and then the 4th day see Dam, and then just skip it, and continue to count 5, 6, 7. It needs to be 7 Achatita. They're complete Tara, and there's no Hefsek. So that's the one din of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achar Titar, what that means is Achar Masa Titar. After the Maisa of the Sfira, then she's permitted. What we learn from this is that Rabbi Shimon says, Midaraisa, she's actually allowed to go to the mikvah on day 7 of Azava Gedola. She's allowed to. But he said, he quotes from the Chachamim Megzera, Aval Amru Chachamim Aser La'asos Kein Shema Tavol Lidei Safek. Why? What happens if let's say the din is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Lidei Safek, so Rashi says, let's first read the previous Rashi, I'm sorry, Acher Maisa. Kevin Shesafer Miktaf Hayom Sheshvi Tita Ayde Tvila. So we know there's a concept of mikvah yom kikula. So once she counts the 7th day, the morning, this is my 7th day, she's clean. So now shiva nakim are complete. And let's say she goes to the mikvah that day. So now she's completely tower. She has shiva nakim, and then she goes to the mikvah. And let's say afterwards they have tashmish on that day 7. And let's say after tashmish, she now sees dam on the 7th day later on. So now what happens is retroactively, the shiva nakim were never really complete. And if tefillah is never a good tefillah, and there's a chashash that she may have been kareis, she really was zava at that time. So therefore, even though mikvah didn't allow to go to the mikvah bayom, but because there might be tashmish bayom, and then nida afterwards on that day, and undoes everything, we said, you're not allowed to go to the mikvah bayom, let's go balayla. So therefore, when it comes to the instances where we do allow her to taka go bayom, whether because of lions or robbers or whatever the danger might be, the cold, so then we say, okay, go bayom, but don't see your husband until balayla. Because if you see your husband, and let's say you end up having tashmish, and then you see dam later on, that undoes all the shiva nakim, and it's a chashash of covers. Okay, so go home, go to the mikvah, but don't go home until layla, until nightfall. Or at least come home, make sure your husband doesn't see you, or whatever their circumstance is, to avoid seeing each other until nightfall. So then the Gemara says, Amar Ravuna Isha Chofefet Bech. We're going to talk about Chafifa now, about cleaning the hair properly, cleaning the body properly. Probably that's called Chafifa. So Amar Ravuna Isha Chofefet Bechad B'Shamis. A woman could do Chafifa on Sunday, but Tavas B'Shlishik B'Shamis, and she could go to the mikveh on Tuesday, even though you normally want the Chafifa to be as close to the Tzvila as possible, so there are no Shilas, but he allows from the Sunday to Tuesday, there could be a separation. Why? Shekein isha chofeves b'erev Shabbos v'tavelas b'matzeh Shabbos. A woman who has to go to the mikvah matzeh Shabbos is allowed to perform chafifa on erev Shabbos. So that's from Friday to matzeh Shabbos, which is Sunday, you know, into Sunday. That's Sunday to Tuesday. That separation of one full day in between is we have a hechad dimsi. So that could be a model for a regular weekday, a Sunday to a shlishi. Isha. Now the Gemara takes it a step further. An isha chofeves b'achav Shabbos. A woman could do chafifa on the Monday and Sunday. V'tavelas b'reviv b'Shabbos and go to the mikvah on day four of the week, Wednesday, and shekein. Why? Because isha chofeves b'erev Shabbos. We have the halacha is a woman could perform chavifa on erev Shabbos and tavelas b'motzei yomtiv and go motzei yomtiv on Sunday night shechal yos achar Shabbos. Because the way it works, you can't do chavifa on Shabbos or yomtiv. You can't take a bath and do all the cleaning. You have to do it in the weekday. So now her leil tefila is Sunday night, but Sunday is yomtiv, so she can't do it on Sunday and she can't do it on Shabbos. So she has to do chavifa on erev Shabbos. So we have from a Friday to a Sunday night is the same thing as Sunday to a Wednesday. So that that separation exists, so we can apply it even during a regular weekday. So then the Gemara says, Isha chofeves b'chav b'Shabbos, b'tuvelas b'chamisha b'Shabbos. Now it's extending another day, extending it to one other day now. Why? Because we have shekein isha chofeves b'erev Shabbos. Let's say a situation where it's a Shabbos, and then Sunday, Monday is Rosh Hashanah, with 3-day yontif. And she's supposed to go to the mikvah Monday night. So the din is, she could do a chafif on erev Shabbos, shekein isha chofeves b'erev Shabbos, she can now go to the mikvah several days later, Monday night, even though there's a large separation. That's the same exact separation between a Yom Rishon and a Yom Chamishi. So that's the din. The Gemara says, Rav Chista Amar, Kulan Aminan, Shekein Lo Aminan. All then we say, in terms of when it's a Friday to Matzah Shabbos, or Friday to Sunday night after Yontif, or Friday after 2-day Yontif, Rosh Hashanah, all that we say. But the shekein we don't say. We don't apply it to the weekday of a Stam Sunday to a Wednesday, a Stam Sunday to a Thursday. That much we don't do. Because heichad afshir afshir, heichad afshir lo afshir. When it's possible to make the chafifa as close to the tefila as possible, then we say you must do it the day off. But when it's impossible because there's Shabbos and Yontif in between, which is impossible, then we have to separate it. But you can't take that separation to apply it to a situation where it's possible to avoid that separation. So Rav Yemar Amar Afilu Shekein Ami Amri, he thinks even the Shekein, we would even apply it to a regular weekday. Labar, with one exception, Isha Chofefes B'chab B'Shabbos V'Tavas B'Chamisha B'Shabbos, that one case we don't allow, we don't agree for that. L'Matesh Shnei Yom Tovim Shor Hashanah Shalach Shabbos, when 2-day Rosh Hashanah falls out after Shabbos, less that much we don't allow. The Efshe De Chofefes B'Laila T'Ves B'Laila, let her do it Monday night. Chaviva Monday night, go to Mikvah Monday night. That separation is too much. But if it's less than that, Shabbos Yontif, or just a regular Shabbos, then we would allow it, and we'd also apply it to a regular weekday of a Sunday to a Wednesday, a Sunday to a Tuesday. That would be allowed as well. That's Machlokas between Rav Yemar and Chista, whether we allow for a separation on a Stam weekday. And the Gemara Paskins at the end of the day, Darish Maremar, Hilchazak Rav Chista, Kinnataraj Rav Yemar, we answer this way like Rav Chista, that's Rav Chista, that on a regular weekday, one is not allowed to make separations, but all the other instances, Shabbos and Shabbos Yom Tov, you're allowed to have a separation, with, again, one exception of Rav Yemar, that the 2-day Rosh Hashanah after Shabbos, that much we don't allow, so we say then you should do the Chafifa and Tevila Mat Rosh Hashanah on Monday night, and not Erev Shabbos. Okay, let's finish off now the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ibar Lahu, Isha, Ma'al Shetach of Balayla, Betitba Balayla. Can a woman do Chafifa Balayla and go to the Mikvah Balayla? The concern is that now if the Mikvah time is at Balayla, she might rush the Chafifa in order to go to the Mikvah as soon as possible. So during the daytime is certainly the best. Daytime, she's no rush, because she can't go to the Mikvah anyways until nightfall. So she's not rushing, she's taking her time, doing the brushing her hair, and doing the inspection of the body, and cleaning her teeth, wherever she needs to clean. So the daytime is not rushed, so that we allow. But Balayla, where there's a certain rush and urgency, it's pressure, maybe we shouldn't allow her to do Balayla, the Chafifa. So the Gemara says that Mar Zutra permitted a woman to do Chafifa Balayla. Rav Chinina, Mesura Oser, Rav Chinina says, Oser, you can only do Chafifa Bayom. So Amar Le Rav Adel, Le Rav Chinina, Mesura, Lav Hachia Ba'ubda, was there not once a situation that the following din, that B'Devesu, the Abba Mari, Reish Galusa, the wife of Abba Mari, who was the Reish Galusa at the time, they were having a little argument, the two of them, the husband and the wife, Reish Galusa. Also, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Le Payusa, Rav Nachman went to appease her. She refused to go to the mikveh that night. She wouldn't go. And Rav Nachman wanted to convince her to go to the mikveh. What do you make such a big deal about? She says to him, My Isa Hashu, like, who invited you here? Like, what are you coming to tell me what to do? So he said back, Tiskai Aishlamacha, come back to me tomorrow, and you can pressure me to go. So V'yada my comrade relay. So he understood what she was saying. What does it mean that Rashi said, my comrade relay Shalom Chafa? So she understood that she didn't do a Chafifa. So Amrlay, so Rav Nachman says, why didn't you do it by Yom? Do de chasarta? Were you missing some, things of hot water, pitchers of hot water to clean in? Tashtake, chasarta? Were you missing a chair to sit on to do the cleaning? After chasarta, were you missing some avadim to help bring you the water and everything like that? So that's how the Gemara concludes. And it seems from this Maisa that the woman would be allowed to do chafifa Belaila, he was trying to convince her to do Belaila, but she wasn't doing it anyways, but Rav Nachman was clear that it would be allowed as long as you have the hot water and the avodim to help you out and a place to sit, and go ahead and do Chafifa now and go to the mikvah, and that's how the Gemara concludes. So one is allowed to do Chafifa Belaila. There are some differences in Halacha Maaseh, whether it's done Belaila by Yom, but we do pass and it is permitted Belaila. Okay, we'll stop here. Mr. Samuel will continue tomorrow morning.